Welcome to Canadian Women of the Outdoors, highlighting amazing Canadian women and small businesses. Brought to you by Revolution Armory, join the revolution. True North Baits, superior quality fishing tackle, see what the fuss is about. The Decoy Daddy, Canada's newest silhouette and waterfowl accessories company, delivering premium products to Canadian hunters. And Hot Box Huts, Lake Simcoe's hottest ice fishing experience. Enjoy the episode. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Canadian Women of the Outdoors podcast. My name is Nicole, I'm your host. I am joined by Chrissy, my co-host tonight, and a special guest, Miss Jen. You're McDonald now, right? I always forget.
Yeah, McDonald okay, now.
So, I was gonna say, I'm okay, but that was my bad.
Easier to pronounce than my former last name.
I mean, Gadbois, that's like exotic and
nice. Very exotic.
Yeah, I always forget. I'm like, oh, because like some of your social media is still an email.
Yes.
And I'm
the
like,
Facebook won't let me change yet.
And then that's why I'm like, shit, which one is it? And I always forget.
What's her name?
So, yes, Jen McDonald. I know your name's Jen. Jen McDonald. And we finally met in person.
Yes.
So now we can actually put faces to name. But I digress. Welcome to the podcast. Before we get right into it, I'm just going to give a shout out to our sponsors, Revolution Armory, Hot Box Huts, True North Baits, and the Decoy Daddy. Go give them a like, follow, subscribe, show them some love on Instagram, Facebook, and all the socials. With turkey season upon us, which is kind of the point of this episode, go check out Revolution Armory. They have some pretty cool guns, coming up, which I've get to try a couple. I'm pretty excited about that, but go give them some love there. And as always, yeah, Decoy Daddy, True North Baits, Hot Box Huts, show them some love and support, guys. Anyway, back to the episode. Talk turkey to me. Who else is excited for turkey less than a month away?
I cannot wait.
I know Jen, you and I have talked, and turkey's your favorite, right?
Yeah. Yes, most definitely. Such an exciting hunt.
It's the best. Chrissy, we need to get you on one.
We'll get there eventually.
This is the year.
Well, the problem for me, though, is every time I have gone out, 99% of the time I have one or more of my children with me. So if you've ever hunted with children, you know how much of a gong show that is.
Not so, yet, but I can't even imagine.
Go ahead.
It's the one thing, like, I never take the kids when I go for deer. With turkey, because it's shorter for us. Like, it's like, okay, we're going to go out for a couple hours in the morning and then call it. It's a little easier, especially to get them introduced to it. So in the fall, when we did the fall hunt, I had one of or more of the kids. The twins came with me a couple times, but then Alina was she was the only one that was with me when we actually saw turkey. And she was too busy looking for skulls around the blind and building fairy houses out of mud to actually sit quietly so I could call them in. They were on a hill a piece away and were not interested in coming anywhere near us. So
and they're so sensitive to like any sort of movement or anything.
Yeah, so that was, sure, it was a bust, and I kind of knew going in it was going to be a bust, but it was just fun to even get her out, and she still talks about it, and she's like, let's go again, and I'm like, do I have to take you?
No, go skull hunting.
Right?
Yeah, shed hunting or whatever it is.
Yep.
It's funny.
So fun.
I took my eldest Mia out, and it's funny, she sat still, she was just doing her thing, and she's the one that actually spotted the turkey. I was kind of like dozing off, and she's like, oh, look. And she's like whispering to me, and sure as shit, if I had been where she was sitting, it was a shootable bird, which really sucked. I was like, oh, if we had just switched positions. And then, cause again, like you mentioned, they're so sensitive. I'm like, if we switch right now, that bird's gone.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping, it would bank in front, but no, it was kind of like going off. Like she was sitting on the right, I was sitting on the left. It came up on the right and then it kind of went farther right. And I'm like, oh shit.
Why would they go the direction you want them to?
Right.
That'd be too easy.
Mm-hmm.
They never exactly. do. They never do. They're the biggest pain in the ass bird, but they are my personal favorite to hunt.
Yeah, like, they're so fun.
There is nothing like waking up on a spring morning, even though sometimes it's freezing. I don't know what turkey opener was like for you up north last year, Jen.
So we were, like, cold.
Negative weather.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. And I digressing a bit, turkey weather, I've hunted like 4 days in a row for turkey. And I had sweltering hot 20 degree weather, piss pouring rain, and then snow.
Oh.
All within 3 days of each other in Bruce County.
Yep.
It's, yeah. You never know what to expect during that early season.
It's insanity.
Or you can go out and you're freezing cold. And then a few hours later, you're like stripping because you're dripping in sweat. There's ticks crawling all over you.
I have, knock on wood, hardwood, I have never had a tick on me, crawl across me, nothing like that.
Wow. I feel like I just attract ticks.
I have never, and I don't even like have spray. I have never, and I'm knocking on all the wood.
Yeah.
Like
I'm not just saying anything.
Like,
they're not cool.
Yeah. Are they pretty bad up where you are?
They're awful. When I used to work in vet clinics, we used to get so many dogs in around tick season, and like I'd say 75% of them would test positive for Lyme disease.
Oh,
that's if they had a tick. Like, it was so bad.
Jeez.
Yeah, we'll have like nests of ticks.
Ugh.
Yeah, nope. They're pretty nasty. I know. That's why I'm always like checking myself, because I'm like, I don't need Lyme disease. Like, that would be
no,
not an experience for me.
Yeah, I mean, it might be fun, like Lyme disease. Who, like,
yeah,
experience.
Something to try.
Yeah, but
not for me.
No, and I like, yeah, I used to have a fear of ticks, but I have not encountered one yet. I honestly, good. As bad as it sounds, I wouldn't even know what they look like.
Oh, okay.
So
they look like little flat spiders.
Oh, that's gross. I've never actually had one on me or anything like that. So, like, but black flies and mosquitoes, they attract me. Oh. Like, one of the things with turkey season and bear season, number one thing, fucking thermocell.
Yes.
I don't know if that's in your pack, but I can guarantee goddamn it's in mine.
100%. I love, like, I'm surprised those work so well.
The thermocells? Oh, they're fantastic.
Yeah,
even
they're
like
awesome.
When we're sitting around like May 2 for our campsite, Chris, we have all like, we have six thermocells going.
Like, everybody has a thermocell.
Like they are wonderful. And like black flies too are disgusting. Like black flies are,
they hurt too.
Is like when we took a trip up to Whiskey Lake, just around Spanish Ontario there, beginning of June, the black flies were so ferocious. We had to spend the entire weekend wearing one of those nets, but they would still come in, and I looked like a unicorn. My forehead was so bit. Ugh. I looked like a full-out unicorn.
That's so uncomfortable.
It was disgusting. Like
they were sending pictures to the group chat, and I'm like, I'm kind of glad I missed that trip. That did not look like a good time.
I was so bad. I was trying to clean fish, and they were just like
swarming you.
Hands, like it was the worst. I'm glad.
And then they like take a good chunk, and your like face starts bleeding. And
oh yeah, I'm kind of glad. Like, we only really deal with mosquitoes during turkey season. Like, that's,
yeah, that's true.
And it's really later turkey season. I shot my bird second day last year, and I didn't get out much after that, so I really didn't have to deal with the mosquitoes. Thank God.
Yeah, I got mine opening morning, and it was just cold, and that was fine with me because that meant like, you know, no bugs, no nothing.
So, question, do you buy two tags at the start of the season, or do you just buy one, and then if you get that tag, then you buy the second? Or do you just do two right off the hop?
I just do the one, and then, yeah, if I have time to go out again, then I'll get that second tag, because I don't really know if I'm going to have time to go out again.
Yeah.
It feels like every single time, like, we have a hunting season, some sort of crazy gun regulation drops, so then I'm just, like, buried in work. Like, I forget what it was. Last
we had to cancel a couple weeks ago
turkey season. Yes, exactly, because there was that March prohibition that came through. Like, middle of the podcast. I'm like, I gotta go. I have to deal with this. Yeah. But
mid-podcast, yeah, is like,
yeah,
that's
got that heart attack.
A very, like, hard job in dealing with that kind of stuff.
It's something. Yeah, it can be pretty nerve-wracking. It's just a giant headache. Well, politics and poor gun stores trying to navigate everything.
And now with the election going on, like,
I know. I know.
It's just insane.
Everybody's kind of like in freeze mode right now, not sure.
I mean, not gonna lie, didn't mind the gas prices going down.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, didn't mind that. Did not mind
that. Was that. All right.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, and again, when it comes to politics, it's literally what is the lesser of all the evils?
100%.
That's the one thing with politics, is none of them are good. It's just what's the lesser of all the evils here?
That's
Which snake would you prefer?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, do you want the one that's going to kill you? Do you want the one that's just going to, like, maybe take your finger off? Like, make you have a bad day? Like, this is, it's really sad that, like, that's our politicians nowadays.
I know. I think my husband put it really well when there was a guy he was talking to that was like, I'm not voting because everybody sucks. And he's like, okay, well, you have to look at it this way. Like, either you vote for the guy that's going to kick you in the balls once, or you vote for the guy that's going to kick you in the balls twice. Like, either way, you're getting kicked in the balls, but one might hurt a little less.
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty much it nowadays.
Yep. But
again, digressing again. What guns are you using? Or are we using for Turkey this year? Because I want to hear the answer for this.
Either use my Winchester SXP, which is a 12 gauge pump action, or my SX4, which is a 12 gauge semi-automatic. So last year I got my turkey with a semi-auto. The pump action I usually use for goose and everything like that, but yeah, kind of whatever I grab that morning.
You're tiny as shit. You shoot a fucking 12 gauge?
I know.
And that doesn't blow you off your feet?
Hasn't yet.
That's impressive.
I do really want to get myself a 20 gauge though, and for like waterfowl at least.
This goes back to the fact that you're short as shit, which I didn't expect.
I was gonna say, when we first met, like, so ice fishing,
we had done multiple podcasts together, and then when she shows up, Chris, you were there when she shows up at the ice hut, and I literally have to look 2 feet down to her, and I'm like, what?
Someone dropped their child off at our hut?
No, I was so blown away. I'm like, I could, like, literally stand up and fit the top of your head. I was like, I was not expecting that. And
I know.
You definitely seem taller in all your posts, but I guess, like,
that's so funny.
Things are deceiving. So, well, the fact that you shoot a 12 gauge, I mean, Chrissy shoots a 12 gauge, but, like, she is,
I'm sturdy,
taller. A normal sized human.
I'm abnormally tall for women, and my good old the other side of the family, the German ancestry, I am built like a brick shit house, so I can take the kickback on a 12 gauge without any issue.
Yeah,
that's,
I've had like people comment on my posts being like, oh my god, that turkey is like bigger than I've ever seen before, that is ginormous, or like, what gun are you running, that gun is as big as you are. And I'm just like, it's not the gun or the turkey, I'm just really short.
I'm fun sized.
Yes, actually. Exactly. I don't comment that because people might get a little carried away with that, but
oh, probably, yeah, because, you know, social media is...
The internet does the internet thing.
Yeah, the internet does, and especially when it comes to women, and they're all like, oh, you're so beautiful, and, oh.
Ugh. I just skip those comments.
You get one or the other. You either get the people that are like, how could you? And then the people that are like, oh my god, you're beautiful, and like,
marry me. And I'm just like, ugh, like, just end my life right now.
No, thanks.
Just leave a normal comment.
Yeah, like, congrats, nice bird. Like,
yes, thank you. Exactly.
Like, that's the particular comment that we're looking for. Gentlemen, if you're listening, don't tell us how beautiful we look. We know we're sweaty, we're cold, we're gross. We just hauled a turkey out. There's probably blood on us. Like, we don't look beautiful, and we know we don't look beautiful.
I know we should be flattered, but, like, hearing it from strangers and stuff, just not.
It's not for me
personally.
Especially, like, when that's what they're lead off. Like, you're so sexy. It's like, no. Like,
or when it's like every comment, it's like the same person always comments that. I'm like, dude, I look like a bag of shit right now.
Yeah. I've been up since 3:30 in the morning setting up the freaking turkey blind and all that shit. I know I don't look good.
Exactly.
Hair's a mess. Blood's here. Like, it's not. Yeah. If you think that's sexy, boy, raise your standards.
That's it. Exactly. I've actually commented that before. I'm like, you're either like really drunk or have really low standards. And they're just like, oh, I don't really know how to reply to that.
Well, what do you say to that? You don't say anything to that. So exactly. Take away from this, men. Don't tell us we look pretty because we know we don't.
Compliment the bird. Compliment the gun.
Yes. When that's a nice looking gun, or ask questions like, yeah. How much does the bird weigh? Ooh. Like, what are the birds?
There you go.
Like,
good job, man.
That's how you get women to engage in this sort of thing.
Yes, actually.
Not the creepy, oh my God.
Like, if you want to talk to them, that's how you leave. And I don't want any men talking to me. Personally, but like, if somebody was like, well, how much did that bird weigh, or like, what's spur length, beard length, whatever, those are questions I would answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you talk to women in the hunting and fishing world, is ask us about our catches and our harvests and everything like that.
Because Lord knows I'm not scrolling in the groups looking at some guy being like, oh, you're good looking. Like, that's not happening.
But realistically, between the three of us, none of us are doing that because we're all husband and wife.
Happily taken.
Happily.
Like, I'm wifed up. I don't need that. You guys are manned up, whatever you want to call it. Or partnered up, whatever the political.
We're all partnered up. Well,
yeah, whatever.
The all-inclusive.
The politically correct term is. But yeah, no, that was, again, more digression, because I find that a lot. Like, and there was actually, we just went to CanCast. They were talking about a woman panel.
Yeah.
So there was a woman panel and they were talking about like challenges that they face. And I'm like, no one brought this up, but that's a huge one, is the negative social, and not even negative, like guys being mean, which you and I have dealt with. But just like the sexualization of it. Is that a word?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sexualization, that's a word.
Yep.
Like they turn it into like this and make you feel uncomfortable. And it's like, that is a big challenge. Like,
yeah, it is true for sure.
And it's just like, how do you overcome that? You block them, cool. But there's always going to be.
And at the same time, I'm like, I don't really want to like get too upset about it, because I'm like, ugh. Like, sometimes they think they're being nice, but it's like, you're not really being nice. You're just like, ugh.
You're creeping me out.
Kind of annoying the hell out of me.
Yeah,
that's a good word for it.
You are giving me the ick.
It's funny that you bring up the comments, because a friend of mine, she works for Safari Club International, and she's putting together a presentation about women in the like outdoor sphere, like hunting and fishing, and all the negative comments that we get. So she's like, hey Jen, can you send me a few of the negative comments you've received, because I know you've received some. So I'm scrolling through my social media.
Did you send
screenshotting
her the pike one
them.
Where we went like that, the when we went back and forth about the pike?
No, I really have to find that one. I did have better ones where people were hoping that I died a horrible death because of harvesting a turkey. There was one person that was very specific in how they were hoping that I would get cancer and die because I am putting all of this violence out there, murdering these animals. And I'm just like, I'm going through these. I'm like, I kind of forgot how like unhinged people are, because usually I'll read it and I'm just like, oh, haha, like that's clever. But yeah, like nasty death threats just from like harvesting a turkey, harvesting a deer.
No one will ever tell you that in person either. They
exactly.
Because they're behind a keyboard.
Yeah, 100%. Those words would never come out of their mouths.
No, they'd probably look past you and be like, oh.
Whatever.
Not say a thing.
Yeah.
Like, not say a thing. It's just
I'm
everybody
like, what kind of like inner demon are you dealing with that you have to unleash your aggression on a stranger online?
Keyboard warriors hiding in mom's basement.
Keyboard Karens.
Mm-hmm. Keyboard Karens. We all deal with them.
I've got to look up that pike guy, because he was a winner.
I think I have those screenshots. I'll send them back to you.
That would be great.
I was dying so hard. I was so rude to him.
Yeah, I think we were like so talking back and forth behind the scenes about him.
I was so bad back to this guy. I commented.
Not like he didn't deserve it.
No. I kind of made him feel a little inferior, I think. Oopsie.
Definitely.
Sorry. Make him cry, bud.
Yeah.
I like making him cry. It's fun.
Oh, Chrissy. What gun are you shooting this year?
Yeah, but well, you know me. I have scary dog privilege, so.
Ooh, love it.
Most people don't because they know I'm going to make them cry. So they don't bother with it. That being said, I've had the creepy guys, though, slide into DMs, especially on TikTok. And I'm like, my TikTok isn't even about my hunting or fishing. So why are you
sometimes
in this?
You do.
I do. Okay, that's yeah, I do sometimes. But no, the most people don't bother picking a fight with me because, yeah, I'm going to make you cry.
Mess up.
I'm
not on the TikTok, but I hear it's pretty bad.
Oh, it's I haven't been on it lately because it's so bad.
Oh,
it's so bad. Sketchy. Yeah.
TikTok can get pretty sketchy.
That's a no thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Back to regular schedule program because, again, we keep digressing. And I mean, that's what this podcast is about. If it turns out it's an hour and a half episode, it's an hour and a half episode. I don't care. We're talking turkey. Talk turkey to me.
We enjoy going off-roading in this.
Getting turkey with it.
On this podcast.
Yeah, we off-road frequently.
I could, talk turkey to me. That was not, a sexy voice at all.
I thought you were trying to be creepy.
No. I was trying to...
Jen, what calls? Talk to me about calls. That's my one thing that I'm trying. It's my goal this year is to get better at calling because I suck at it.
I can't do a mouth call, I'll tell you that.
No.
The box call, I think, is the easiest. Okay. Love the box call. Just my little... I got a few really good pot calls from PBS Game Calls. They are very local to me.
Yeah.
Love those ones. They're fantastic. I can do a...
That's what's his face.
Phil?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. They do the game calls. He did the little turkey fan mount behind me there.
Yes.
They've just moved shops. So unfortunately, I don't think his shop's going to be ready for this turkey season, which absolutely sucks because I'm sure his orders are piling in. He makes gorgeous calls. The diaphragm call, I can use that. I don't know.
I never even tried it.
I choke brushing my teeth though, so.
Well, now I don't think I could use it because now that I'm pregnant, I just gag every time I brush my teeth.
Oh,
fair.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a box call this year.
That would do it. Yeah. Oh God. Just the thought of that. I've tried and I even tried getting a kid's version and cutting it down and I still.
Oh, okay. You have to get that good suction to the roof of your mouth.
I'm gagging thinking about it. Cause it's just so
nope.
I can't. Yeah.
Nope.
I will get kind of frustrated with it sometimes because I don't know, too much saliva builds up and it doesn't sound right or whatever. So yeah, the pot or the box call are always my go-to.
Because Ty uses a mouth call and it pisses me off to no end.
Just chirping around.
Yeah. He'll walk around the fucking house doing it. And I'm like, and the first time he did it, it scared the crap out of me because I was like, oh my God, what is happening? And I think I was coming up from the basement and he's just standing in the kitchen acting like nothing was happening. And I was trying to figure out where the noise was coming from. Oh, and I'm like, goodness. Are you playing something on your phone? And I'm freaking out at him.
They're an animal in here.
And then of course he's trying to talk to me with it in his mouth. And I'm just like, I am going to smack you, sir.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to me? jerk move.
And then the animals all go crazy. Oh, what is that?
Oh, the dog was losing.
The cat
was hiding. I'm like, what is going on?
You are traumatizing everybody in this house.
Did my husband bring home turkeys without asking me?
Yeah.
I'm the one that brings animals home. So I was like, what are you watching on your phone? What are you playing on the speaker? What is going on? But he can do the mouth call. I can't. I used the box call.
Okay.
My child is better at it than I am.
I will sit there and just practice at work, kind of while I'm at my computer, just trying to get it right. But I took a turkey seminar last spring. I learned so much. It was so good. The guy that it was at that hunting store in Richmond.
Okay.
The guy that was giving the course was, I think he was like the first person in the area to harvest a turkey whenever it finally became like legal in this area.
Yeah, because they just reintroduced turkeys not long ago,
definitely before my time, but not super long ago.
No.
And he said that it's good to keep multiple calls because turkeys will get used to one call and think it's just like the same voice. So if you're always using the same call, then they're just like, oh, that's sketchy. Like, why is that one particular turkey always there? Or if they like bust you, they're like, oh, I know that sound. So I keep like so many calls in my bag now just to have a variety.
Caitlin, if you're listening, which you probably are, this is why I have multiple calls and I buy multiple calls. Just saying.
That's it. Exactly.
Just saying. I don't know if she's listening behind the door or if she's going to listen to this when it releases, but maybe both. Just saying, babe. This is why. You wonder why I have multiple different calls. That's why.
Different voices.
See, now exactly. I hope Ty doesn't listen to this episode because then he'll be like, okay, that's an excuse. I'm going out and buy more. And I'll be like, damn it.
Yeah, for sure.
He listens like pretty frequently. So
yeah,
it's probably a guarantee. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. So I actually just put in, so I use a lot of Naughty Beaver calls. I don't know if you've heard of them. I've heard of them. It's Chris. He was at the Toronto Sportsman Show. And I've used him for years, and he's going to make me a custom call with my logo on it for turkey season this year. He's also he's made me a glass one with a Joe Exotic picture on it.
Cool.
So the story behind that is 2020 was a year. COVID and
Joe Exotic
came out. And that year, I actually went turkey hunting up near Kingston area. I still have a bone to pick with this bird. So the first day we were out, and this turkey was an asshole, and he was just skirting around. It was a Jake, but it was the most aggressive Jake I've ever seen. Like, he was borderline becoming a Tom.
Not timid or anything.
Doing that transition, like, he was gobbling like crazy. So the first day he comes out and is like just skirting like where I felt comfortable shooting, and I was like, you asshole. Next day we go out and we hear gobble gobble, and we thought it was actually like somebody else. We were like, oh, like this is,
oh, okay,
another person, because it was just so much. And then all of a sudden, like, my buddy, he was like, Nicole, look to your left. And I like just kind of like eyeball, and like it's the same friggin' jom, I'm gonna call it, like a Jake and a Tom mix. It was a jom. And this is also hilarious. I've never seen a turkey run before.
Oh.
Never in my life have I seen a turkey run before. This motherfucker, literally from the far end of the field, is running towards our decoys. I start laughing because I've never seen a turkey run. I've never seen a turkey run before. It looks utterly ridiculous. The noises it's making, I'm just like, what is happening right now? This is COVID. It's a fever dream. What's going on right now? Like... And I'm shaking and I'm trying to concentrate. I totally missed the bird. And because Joe Exotic, it turned into a joke, that there was a meme or whatever. And I said, this was my life. And it's like, when you miss a turkey, who you blame? I was like, that bitch, Carol Baskin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's the long winded story of why I have a Joe Exotic turkey call with like Joe Exotic. Yeah, because
that's awesome.
When I missed that bird, whose fault was it? Well, that bitch Carol Baskin. It was her fault.
Yeah,
like it was the worst. I was dying. I've never, like, the previous times I've turkey hunted, they all came in slow and like nice and normal, but this thing was like hell bent for buffalo, like just running, and I thought it was the stupidest looking. Like, Chrissy, I'm sure you can just picture me like. Mm-hmm. Dying, not being able to focus and take the shot. And yeah, I totally missed the bird because I'm like laughing and I'm like, oh, like, I was like, you deserved your life right there, bud. But now I know what to expect. So I have a bone to pick with that bird. So at some point I got to go back up there. Apparently I've talked to my buddy. He's still kicking. He's a huge tom now.
Oh, I bet.
And I'm like, well, I got to go up there and finish him. I've got a big bone to pick with that guy.
Yeah, but he'd be a nice big boy now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I think it was 2020. Like
5 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, God. COVID was 5 years ago?
That's crazy.
What a fever dream. But anyway, so yes, that's so Naughty Beaver does a ton of amazing custom calls, and he does the slate calls, and he also does the mouth calls again.
Okay.
So I don't have mouth calls because I can't use mouth calls. I choke and die. But I love his slate calls. I have a couple of his slate calls. I also have some TS slate calls as well.
Okay.
Caitlin likes the TS calls. She sometimes uses them because depending on, like, if we're sitting together, both of us will run a different call each just to mix it up a bit, you know?
Yeah, but of course.
Decoy wise, let's talk decoys. Talk sexy, you know, you gotta entice them in.
Talk decoys to me.
Talk decoys. Well, because you gotta make it like Lionel Richie, like bring it in. Like,
I have dirty never.
Dirty hunting is so weird. You're literally trying to turn these birds on.
Yeah.
Like, between the calling, like, if you literally think about it, you're setting up some girls that you want them to come, like, here's some girls, like, come take full sexual advantage of them. And then you're trying to entice the birds by talking to them, like, sexually, like, come here, big daddy. Like,
yeah.
Turkey hunting is honestly the weirdest thing. Chrissy, don't die.
Is this what's happening in the comments with the creepy men, that they think that we're turkey doing a decoy?
Most, like, likely.
Am I wrong, though? When you really break down turkey hunting.
Yeah, I mean,
wrong. You're not wrong.
Like, deer season, okay, yeah, it's not like you're calling them in, but you're not calling in a deer, or you're setting decoys up or anything like that. Bear season, same thing. You're not trying to entice them sexually, or, but like turkey season, you are literally trying to turn these birds on. Yeah. I bet nobody's thought of it like that before.
No, sorry, not really.
I've never. But now you're.
I just think, like, you know, I'm trying to impersonate a hen, but I've never thought of it that way.
You won't think of it any other way, though.
You know what's going to happen?
You're trying to impersonate a hen because why? You want them to come mate with you.
Exactly.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to be sitting out there and Barry White's going to start playing in my head and I see a bird coming in.
Definitely.
That's what's going to happen. Thanks for that.
Yeah. We should each film when we kill turkeys this year, because I'm going to put it out there that we're going to kill turkeys, and then put like the sexy saxophone music on. Like, din, 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 din. Tonight the music seems so loud.
That's it. Absolutely. Even if we just have it like in our earbud.
Yeah. I'm sorry for anybody listening. I totally went off kilter. Anyway, decoys. What kind of decoys do you set up? Do you do jealousy, or do you do just like threesome?
I have never harvested a turkey while using decoys.
What?
Really?
Never. They always come into the call. I used one of those like funky chicken Jake decoys last year, had a tom come in, and when he was just within shooting range, he got spooked by the decoy because it blew and like kind of flipped towards him kind of weird. I have a video of it actually. And then I had a tom decoy, and then there was a large Jake that didn't want to come in because I don't know if he was like intimidated by the tom. I've used hens and they didn't seem interested. So yeah, I've never harvested a turkey with a decoy. I'll use them sometimes to like mix it up and see, you know, maybe I'll get like, you know, those cool, like, you know, those videos you see where the tom's like attacking the decoy and it's like the neatest thing ever. But yeah, it's always just the call.
The decoy or mating with the female decoy.
Yeah. Or running away.
Okay. Well, that's intriguing. I'm so used to using decoys now. I have just never thought of not using decoys, but I guess if you do the right calls, right?
Yeah. I've had a lot of toms come in just to the calls. Like, I think they have such good hearing and a good sense of direction with their hearing that they just kind of beeline for wherever I am. And
this makes sense to me because Ty goes out and puts his decoys out and he's never been successful either. So
no decoys, just the call. No decoys.
But if I go sit out, actually, if I just walk through the bush, they're there. But
oh my gosh,
usually out of season for me, but
out of season or you don't have a firearm on you or something like that. Always. Yeah.
Always.
Well, maybe you need to set up without decoys then.
Well, that's I'm 100% going to, and I'm going to see if I can get permission. Do you remember the video I sent you in the group chat of all those turkeys?
Yeah.
my animal of the day I send you guys. It was a video and there was like, I don't know, like 16 to 20 birds just chilling just off the road. And I'm like, every day I see those stupid buggers every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to see if I can get permission to maybe hunt there this year. So
good idea,
but I'm not going to use a decoy now.
Opening day I didn't use like any decoys, didn't bring anything with me except for my calls, and I had three toms and a Jake come in. The first tom I missed because he was a lot farther than I thought, so I shot and totally missed him. But then like 20 minutes later another tom comes in, I was able to harvest that one, and then I had a tom and a Jake come like within shooting distance.
Wow.
Crazy. See, I usually run with two hens and a Jake.
That's a good setup, I think. That's like what I see.
It's worked. I mean, it's worked ish. It's worked. I put a bird on the ground, so it's
yeah.
I don't know if that was just because more of where I was, or it's so hard because
100%, and they're all different.
Realistically, like the bird that I got last year, that was all calling, like talking, chatting back and forth. Like that had nothing to do. He can't come around. Like he traveled quite a distance to come to my calling. Apparently I was Barry Manilowing really well.
Yeah.
The sexy saxophone is really what did it. The Turkophone or whatever you want to call it.
That's what it was.
Yeah. The Turkophone. Yeah. So now I'm kind of curious if I try without decoys this year.
We should try without. We should try with. We should keep for science. For science. That's what deer. I need to go out hunting more for science.
Exactly.
We're gonna get data on this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I often try like so many different things while I'm out for deer, turkey, whatever, because you know you're always learning. So.
Speaking of trying different things, when you pattern your gun, because we all know you pattern for turkey, right? We all throw full chokes in there. Do you try out different ammo or do you have tried and true that you kind of always usually go with and just double check each year that it still is a decent shot for you?
Honestly, each season I'll just kind of buy, like, I don't have a particular brand or type that I'm attached to. Last year I used the Federal TSSs. So that's just kind of all I used to pattern the gun. The year before it was the Longbeards that I was using. So yeah, I don't usually
kick like a freaking mule. And
well, again, and I was stupid and I got 3.5-inch 12 gauge.
Oh,
they were big. I don't know why.
How did that not knock you over?
Right?
I don't know. My shoulder was
bruised. Did you have a bruise?
100%. Absolutely.
Oh my God.
I don't know why, like what possessed me to buy that, because like why not just use, you know, a 3-inch, 2 3/4, whatever. It's basically all the same shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I shoot a 20 gauge. This last year, I actually took my bird down with a 12.
Okay.
And again, for the one shot, you don't really feel it because it's the adrenaline.
Yes.
I felt it more when I was patterning the gun. And because I was putting different loads through it, when I was patterning the RA RX2, which Chris, you have that gun now, right?
Yeah.
So when I was patterning the RA RX2, I shot Longbeard, I shot one other one, and then I shot Kent, I always shoot Kent. But I was just putting other ones through just to see. The Longbeard, I thought I was going to fall off my chair.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. But that is a nice thing I like about Kent ammo. I find Kent has like a less kickback on it.
Okay.
And I know there is a science behind it. They explained it to me at the sportsman show. There is a science behind it. But could I remember it? No.
I agree 100% because when we were patterning the guns,
we you were with me.
It was at my farm.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Do you remember this, Nicole?
Yes.
Same thing. It was the long beard we had run through because we were doing Kent initially. And I was like, and that's what I liked about the RX2 to begin with is that it didn't kick like a mule.
Okay.
I was never a fan of 12 gauges until I got this thing. And I'm like, this is not a bad gun. I really like this gun. But then we put that long beard in it and I was like, ow, like it hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I fired after that. And then when I came home, of course, I bruised like a peach. Yeah. I was bruised from like my shoulder down to my boob. It was pretty bad. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. The Kents were way better.
The Kents were way better for that.
Huh. Like it didn't kick. And even like, I think we were shooting Skeet a bunch that day too, as well. Or something. Was that another? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Either way.
I just remember the big target we were patterning on.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't the dryer.
No, it wasn't the dryer. We redneck it up when we have to around here, but it works.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
It's a good indicator when you're shooting against it. So I think we did shoot Skeet after that.
That was a year ago.
Yeah, I know. It was a while ago. We got to do it again.
Well, we're going to have to repattern guns. So do you go out multiple days or do you just do one day of solid patterning and then you're good to go for the turkey?
I just do the one day.
Because, I mean, realistically, yeah. I know some people who, like, switch it up, like, day by day. And they're like, oh, sometimes, like, depending on how my shoulder feels or whatever, I'm like, just, I don't know. I just do the one day. It's kind of intense.
For sure. I mean, I kind of run the same gun. Like, I use the Pattern Master turkey choke. And then I just go out the one day. And if it looks good, it looks good. If not, I throw a few more rounds down.
I use the factory chokes. I'm just so basic.
Oh, no. Those are awesome. For sure.
It comes with it. Cool. Like,
yeah.
I also live in Elmwood, Ontario. It's not like there's a whole hell of a lot of options for me to go choke shopping around here.
No, for sure.
Like, we don't have the kind of, you have Ottawa close to you, right? Don't you?
An hour.
Yeah. You have that kind of fun stuff close to
you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the Cabela's in Ottawa, so.
Oh, I would be there quite a bit.
Yeah. Cabela's, I haven't gone in so long, but
Cabela's it's a store you could easily spend a lot of money in very, very quick.
I just love like their cooking section, like all the spices and
oh yeah. All right, now diving into cooking. Now, Chris, I know you haven't harvested one yet. You do harvest one, are you taking breasts, legs, like are you
everything.
Taking wings, everything.
Everything.
Anything.
Meat is meat. Put it in my freezer.
Good. Are you going to feed the giblets to the dogs and cats? Are you going to
probably? Those? No, I probably give those to the dog. Murph's a good girl. She deserves a treat. She was with us when we were patterning the gun. She was doing great.
She was. She did really well with the noise.
She was just chilling beside me the whole time. So if I get a turkey, she's going to get a treat.
Love it.
And I know, Jen, I know you harvest all the parts, but do you utilize like the giblets and like the heart, liver, lungs and all that stuff for?
The lungs, I won't. The lungs, I honestly just like give to the cats because they love it.
So you do harvest them. You don't.
Yes, 100%. I don't eat them, I should say. Yeah. Liver and heart for sure. I'm like,
your liver
like
girl,
a deer,
eh?
I'm cooking up that heart like first day. Oh.
Heart, yeah. I can't wrap my head around the liver. Like, I take hearts.
Oh, I like liver.
See, I take hearts, but, like, the rest of it, like, usually it gets fried up for the husky. Like, she
okay.
or last year at Caitlin's parents' place, when I harvested my bird, I gave it, they have barn cats.
Oh,
so I just put all the giblets and stuff out for their barn cats.
Yeah.
And just raw too, didn't I? I was like, do you want me to fry it up? And Caitlin's mom's like, no, just throw it in the bowl, they'll eat it.
They
like,
love it raw.
Okay. Yeah. And it was gone. Like by the time I cleaned up and then came away, went like put my shit away and then went back, like the bowl was empty. I was like, holy shit. Like,
yeah. Like they were for goose hunting, I'll come home and like my cat just like devours the liver, but I'll also use the liver for sausage. Like, I'll just throw it into the sausage mix because it's
really
it's super nutritious and at least it doesn't go to waste.
Huh.
I could see that. See, if it's hidden in the food, if it's hidden in sausage and you don't tell me it's there, I will eat it.
All good.
If you tell me it's
mixed in with a bunch of other stuff,
I won't touch it.
Well, don't. So you'll still have to eat sausage from Jen, though, if she comes on any other fishing or hunting.
Yes.
Because you just made a ton of sausage and that looked delicious.
It was, the High Mountain Hunter's Blend breakfast. It was so friggin' good. We actually just had some for supper like an hour ago.
So we'll have to plan a fishing trip and you'll have to be responsible for breakfast.
100%.
That's when it's going to happen.
Imagine now, some like breakfast burritos with that.
Oh, yes. Now that we're on also the topic of food, another thing that spring and turkey time gives us with so much time in the bush is our favorite thing, foraging. Love us some foraging. I know I'm really excited for fiddleheads. Chris and I were talking because we have a little honey hole down by the Soggy.
Love it.
And do you get fiddleheads much up where you are? Or?
Yes. I actually have like a bunch of pins dropped on my map on my phone of like where all the good fiddlehead spots are, because there's some by, you know, some places that I go fishing and stuff where it's just jam-packed with fiddleheads, and I find so many people have no idea what they are and that they can actually eat them.
But
so
you, Chris, because you explained it to me last year, you have to be careful with them, right? Like there's like you can only harvest them like at a certain
if they're too mature, right?
If they're too mature, you don't want them. I've seen way too many people pick ostrich ferns or like those lookalikes,
the and orangey.
Yes, and then they're just like, "Oh, is this a fiddlehead?" I'm like, "Do not eat that!
Don't put that in your mouth.
Don't eat that."
Is it venomous? Is it poisonous, or it's just
it's
gross?
It's got I don't know if it's necessarily poisonous, but I think it's toxins. It will make you sick.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think it like, gives you a pretty nasty stomach ache.
Yeah, you will get very, very ill if you pick the wrong thing. So, to me, fiddleheads aren't that hard to identify.
But yeah.
I've been doing it up my whole life, so I can't, like, to a newbie, I can completely understand.
It was my first year, like, harvesting full of fiddleheads myself, so I definitely, I think I sent you, like, 60 pictures. I was like,
is this it? And I'm just like, okay, if it's got the little U in the channel, and it's got the papery stuff, and it's not furry, you're generally okay.
I think I was on FaceTime with you at one point. I was like, look at all these.
She's like, look at these. I'm like, okay, settle down.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do grow in the same area, so I need you to be careful with what
you pick. Yeah, that's
true. Don't over harvest a clump. That's my big thing, because if you over harvest a clump, then they don't grow back, or they have trouble coming back the next year.
For like anything, like the wild ramps or leeks, like don't go wild.
Not in on Caitlin's property, and Chrissy, you can attest to that.
Yeah. No, you can't over-harvest.
That's awesome.
I will send you videos and pictures of this. You literally cannot over-harvest on the property that we get them from.
Oh, that's nice.
It's insanity. We should probably pick more so we can maybe decrease the population. But
that's
those
pretty wild.
It is legitimately insane. I've never seen so many wild leeks in one place. Like never in my life.
And there's just like so much you can do with them too. The leaves,
the
bulbs.
Smell,
so good.
The smell when
I'll be eating them like raw as I'm picking.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far because I eat dirt. But
I'm an animal.
I like to clean them up a little bit, but. Yeah, like leeks are such a versatile thing. Like you could do soups, like you can do
pesto with the leaves,
the chimichurris. Like you can do a ton of stuff. Now, mushrooms. I am still learning about the harvesting of mushrooms because there's apparently more mushrooms in the spring than just morels.
Oh, yes.
I still am learning the mushroom thing. I only just started really eating mushrooms a couple of years ago, though. I just finally. My palate changed, which did you know your palate changes every 7 years?
Didn't know
so
that.
I just started liking mushrooms a couple of years ago. So I do puffballs are actually one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yes.
I love those. Puffball Parmesan. Like, so good. Yeah. And I heard like some people do it like a bread type thing.
Oh.
And make sandwiches with it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I could see that. The texture is like a very, right, like spongy.
Yeah.
I break it up and do, and actually mix it in with scrambled eggs so the kids eat it.
Good idea.
So it makes like really nice, rich scrambled eggs. I've done that. I've done it, cubed it up and fried it in garlic butter.
And that's my favorite.
Inhale it.
I was going to say, you did a video, Jen. What did you do for that again?
Am I wrong?
It was a video with a puffball, right?
Yes. Well, I did a couple. I did one that was just like fried up with the butter and like some salt. But then I also did a cream of puffball mushroom soup.
Ooh.
Oh.
So it was just like cream of mushroom soup, but using puffballs instead. It was really, really good.
Really delicious. Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot of those forage things, like they are so good in soups.
The morels, like, that's what I'm like really waiting for.
Oh, morels? I just like sauteed in butter and garlic.
Yes.
I have only ever found them once.
Oh.
That's hard.
I've searched for like years and years and then finally found like.
Mine was a fluke thing. It was walking down the train tracks with the kids. And I stopped.
When you're not even looking.
I stopped till I don't even know what I did. And I looked down and I'm like, what the? brought them home.
There is false morels though, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. They're not hollow.
So if you find something that looks like morel, your best bet is to cut it straight open.
Cut it in half and look.
And if it's hollow, then it is a morel, right? No.
Yes. It's good to go.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
still learning about the mushroom thing. What other
mushrooms,
what other mushrooms are there other than, I know puffball and morels.
The pheasant backs or dryad saddle. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the one, like I went to bend down to pick one of those and then I saw the morels all around that. That's when I first found morels. I was just like, oh my God.
Go ahead.
No, there's another one that I was trying to think of that I found last year, but I didn't realize it was edible until afterwards. So I want to go back. It's like a crown tip mushroom or something. It looks so friggin' cool.
I'm not a big fan of the dryad saddles.
Okay. Yeah, they're like not amazing. They're just like
as a survival food, yes, I could do it. I ate it just to say I did it, and I was less than impressed with it. It has a weird texture and a weird taste that I couldn't get past. For me, I just couldn't get past it.
Okay, so it does taste, all these mushrooms do kind of taste different. I don't know.
Yeah.
I find a lot of things taste the way you just season them, but that's just me. I mean, maybe I'm broken.
See, I get a lot of, like, the morels for me, they, despite how it was prepared, very earthy tasting still for me.
Really?
Okay.
The puffballs, again, depending on where I find them, have a different flavor, regardless of how I seasoned it, unless I'm loading it in the garlic butter. That's the only time that it really, it takes on that garlic flavor, obviously. If I throw it in the eggs, it's just creamy.
Puffballs, though, they have, like, a time frame.
Yes.
Right? Like, there's, it's a short window. Short window. Opportunity.
They'll dry out and turn into, like, dust balls.
Yeah,
it is. I think I remember learning that puffballs have a very short window of opportunity before they get nasty and gross.
Yeah.
But like if you
dry.
get them in that window of opportunity, they are quite delicious.
For sure.
I want to do more like mushroom picking this year, like because now that I'm into mushrooms more, and I mean I love my fiddleheads and leeks, and we'll definitely be doing that once the river's not flooded anymore. So our honey hole's on the river, and again I just learned, I'm like, Chris, what am I looking for? Like last year I'm texting Chris, so I'm like, Chris, what am I looking for? Where do I find these? Like, when do I start looking for these? Because I really really wanted them, and then sure as shit she points me in the right direction and like gives me all the answers, and I got some good fiddleheads last year. This year I'm going to try, I want to harvest more, and I'm going to try and do a cream of fiddlehead soup.
That sounds good.
Well, because I think I messaged you, Chris, and I was like, yep. So fiddleheads are kind of like asparagus. In that sense, could I then just do a cream of fiddlehead and like substitute So I'm going to give that a shot this year because I love, I don't know about you guys, but I love soups and stews.
I will see if I can find, because I did inherit my grandma's recipe book. I will see if I can find the recipe she used. But I don't, I want to say there was no recipe, but I will look for you. I think it was, I think it might've been one of those, you know, that was just grandma's recipe off the top of her head type of thing.
Is it actually like a fiddlehead soup or?
It's a fiddlehead, it's a fiddlehead soup. Her entire cookbook is just like handwritten, scribbly, hard to decipher sometimes.
Aren't grandmas like that though?
And I mean, like this is a recipe book that has a recipe for jugged hare in it. So Lord knows what else I'm going to find in there. So
interesting. Yeah.
I'm really looking forward. I'm like, now that we're talking about it, I'm like, okay, is it like middle of April yet? Like, let's get going.
I know. I can't wait.
I like, it's honestly like once that turkey's like, there's nothing more awesome than you walk into the woods, you hear the grouse thumping. Like, cause I don't know if you get it where you are, but we hear the grouse thumping, the smell of the leeks, the gobble starting. Like,
It's just the squirrels best time of year.
Like deer.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
That are assholes that sound like deer. Like, there's nothing louder than a squirrel during turkey season.
For sure.
There is no louder noise. Like, this, they're not even badgering, like, waterfowl or deer or anything like that. There, because, like, realist turkey, you have to be quiet as shit. But there's nothing louder than a friggin' squirrel. And they're assholes.
When they're hanging above you, ticked off because you're sitting there and they're chirping away at you.
Yeah, and they're jumping from like branch to branch and making branch noises and you're like, oh my god, is that a turkey?
Yes.
Like, is it walking over a branch? But no, it's just a little squirrel. And he's like, what? They're like, what? Come at me. Like, this is my tree.
So like, you almost want to bring like a little 22 with you and just
And you're just like, poof. Bye.
A little slingshot. Just there you go.
That's quieter.
That's smart. Anyway, ladies, we've definitely passed the hour mark or the mark that I usually keep it at, but I mean, it's our favorite season that's coming up, right? It's time flies when you're having fun and you're chatting about something you're passionate about, right?
100%.
And this is our passion. We hunt, we fish, we forage, we turn it into beautiful creations, and that's kind of what we do. Like, especially like Jen with you, like that's how we connected originally.
That's true.
She does. You hunt, fish, forage, and then turn it into beautiful recipes, and I creep the shit out of you. And I was like, "Holy crap, this is a girl I want to know."
On the food.
Yeah, we did, and like that is exactly it. And I was like, "This is a girl I want to know." Not only to share recipes with her, but just because like she seems like a really cool chick. Like, and now look at us—over a year. I think it was just over a year later. We're now doing.
Yeah, because actually, I was looking at my memories on Facebook, like. And a week ago, and it was like the first podcast that popped up, I think.
And now I think you've been on like 4 or 5 times. Like,
yep.
Crazy how that works, eh?
Absolutely.
But we definitely need to get together to do a fish again soon.
Yes.
And
100%.
When things slow down for you, maybe next year, hopefully.
Definitely.
you should come down for a turkey hunt next year, maybe. We can figure something out.
I'd love that.
Always nice chatting with you, Jen. It was awesome finally meeting you in person a couple months ago, which is weird to say that was a couple months ago.
It feels like it was a year ago.
Right?
I just said that and it was, oh my God, that was a couple months ago.
Yeah, that's really weird.
And now the ice is all out and we're getting ready for open water. My God.
I know.
Yeah, CanCast was quite a blast.
Like, oh, good. I'm glad. A guy that's on the board of like the organization that I work for, he was actually the guy that was putting it together, and of course the crappy weather hit. Kyle Carruthers,
good dude,
awesome guy for sure.
Great dude. But
I remember I was texting him, I'm like, I'm sorry about this weather.
So the power actually went out mid-show.
Oh no.
And then everybody just turns on their phone flashlights and they're still shopping in the dark.
Oh good.
I was like, this puts new meaning to fishing in the dark. But yeah, and then power came back on, and there were some great deals there. We found some deals, found some new lures, and it was a great little show.
They put on a fantastic show.
Yeah, it was a great show. It
he
was a great show.
Busts his butt to like put that show together.
It was, and I mean, I would be curious to see how busy it would be without the crappy weather that
I know.
Because I heard a lot of people canceled because of the weather and the ice and stuff like that.
Yep.
I would be curious to see how busy it is, like, on a normal CanCast day.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, shout out to you, Kyle. You put on an awesome show. We had a blast. We drove 3 hours and it was awesome. It was a great road trip.
It was a great trip.
It was a great road trip. So much fun. Lots of energy drinks involved, but it was fun.
Coffee and energy drinks.
Oh, McDonald's. It all happened. All the things. But anyway, thank you guys so much for coming on tonight. Really appreciate your time chit-chatting with me. Hopefully we can reconnect after turkey season when we've all put birds on the ground and talk about the stories and how that all happened. I'm hoping all three of us can put birds on the ground this year. Chris, I'm really
not hoping. It's we will.
It is going to happen for sure.
We're manifesting this.
It's yes. Remember, when, I'm when only manifesting the fish. It's happening.
Right. Yes. Right. This is exactly what we're doing.
Manifesting.
When we do it.
When, yeah, we're going to get birds. After we get all three of our birds, we'll come back on and chat about all those stories.
Talk about our birds.
Exactly. How much they weigh, the things that people want to know, not, oh my God, how beautiful right? are you? No, honey, it's 6:30 in the morning. I'm not beautiful right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but anyway, thank you again so much, guys, for coming on. I really appreciate it. Again, one last time, shout out to our sponsors, Revolution Armory, The Decoy Daddy, Hotbox Huts, and True North Baits. Go show them some love. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in. Remember, guys, the outdoors belongs to no one. So get out there, explore, hunt, fish, forage, do whatever you want. Just get outside and enjoy it. Thanks, guys.